Is it moving? Yep. Okay. Hey, you can sit in the big comfy chair back there. Good evening, everybody. How are you? Just got back from a lot of trips. Went to Canada, did some business there. Went to Houston, did some business there. Then went to Australia, did some business there. And been in a lot of meetings, met with a lot of shareholders. It's been really fun. A little stressful, because some of these dudes are billionaires, and I had to get used to the zero zeros that are behind their name, but that was my limit. That was my limiting factor. Anyway, Keith taught last week. He was supposed to be here this week, and he said, now, who was here last time? You were here. Okay, you guys were here. So, hey, what's up? Hey, how are you? Hi. What's your name, man?
Dave.
Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks. Hi, Regina. Nice to meet you. Hi, my mom, Tiger. Take a seat. There's some up front. I'll ask all these people the questions. You work out a little bit, huh, dude?
A little bit.
You got cows. You don't have calves. You pissed me off. Look at those things. I got these little teeny thing. What do you say? You got to. They look good, man. Well, if you got them, show them, man. That's great stuff. Nah, you don't have to. So let's review. We're talking about the whole purpose of this whole thing is walking as a son of God. How do we walk in power? How do we actually utilize the tools that God says we're able to utilize? How come we're not wealthy? How come we're not, when our shadow passes somebody, they don't just heal like when Peter did it? How come we can't just lay hands on somebody and they're healed? How come it's so different? Or sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. How come? So we're trying to learn a process that we can use, and it's not an easy process because it means a lot of dying to old thinking, stinking thinking. And when you die to stinking thinking, then you got a void there and you got to replace it with something positive, or else more stinking thinking comes back, right? So you're saved. Now what? I mean, this is the big thing about Christians. They all get saved. Yay. Now what? Well, now we just wait for the rapture, or we wait until we go up into heaven and see Jesus. And what? No, we're supposed to now walk as sons of God. We're supposed to walk this planet in power, dominion, and authority. So how do I change what I've always done, thought? We're all addicted to something or many things. Science, and what I talked about was in this lesson was we're all addicted to something, whether it be alcohol, drugs, which are unacceptable socially, or whether it be I need praise, I need words of affirmation, I have to be a pleaser of people, whatever it is, then all those addictions are chemical addictions, because then the hypothalamus releases neuropeptides that key lock into your cells and make you vibrate, and then every time a cell divides, it makes more of those receptor sites saying, I need more of that stuff, whatever that stuff is. And so you end up being more and more and more that way, whatever that way is. But everyone's addicted to something. Step one, we repent. All right, repent just means think a new way. It doesn't mean beat yourself on the back with a stick. Think a new way. Decide you want to improve your life by improving yourself. The only person you can improve in this planet is you. You can't improve your spouse. You can't improve your kids. You can't improve anyone else but you. As soon as you try to improve someone else, that's when you get into that stress place, because you're trying to control something we're not supposed to be controlling, someone else. Because if they would just get right, my life would be good. Right? Yeah, you say amen. My wife said amen, so that's not good. So we think a new way. We decide you want to improve your life by improving yourself. That's all you got to do. You know what? I don't know how I'm going to do it. Hey, what's up? What's up? All these big dudes coming in here. No hugs. We got a class going on here. No, just take a seat. You can move those back a little bit if you like, so I don't step on your kid or nothing. So we improve our life by improving ourselves. All it is just saying, I want to get better. That's it. It's not like I'm going to change everything in my life. Just do this one thing. I want to improve. Okay, I want to improve. Number two, decide that something greater than me could remove these character flaws. Only through relationship with Papa God is this possible. This whole thing in life, what we do now, is all about relationship. everything. He said, Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, and might, love your neighbors yourself. All that's relationship. And the whole reason why Jesus came is to restore relationship with God, right? We get stuck at Jesus all the time, and we forget that he was the one that put the robe on us. So why? We could go see God. So we could hang with God. So we could go boldly before the throne, as the Bible says. Jesus did his purpose, what he was supposed to do. He restored us to being able to go see God again. Because God couldn't, during the original sin, God was separated from man, right? Now, we can go boldly before the throne because we have a robe of righteousness. We are not sinners anymore because we're covered in Jesus' righteousness. Any questions on that? Because that's important stuff. I know we've said it, but some people might have not have heard it from me before. All right. God can remove these character flaws, but as you get closer with him, this is when it happens. For me, God's got to be just the dude I hang with. It's got to be the guy that when I'm sitting down meditating in the morning, I go up and sit up on his lap. I go hang with him. I talk to him. If I can't do that, I'm not close enough to God yet. If it's that guy that I want to say the act of contrition and three Hail Marys to just because I know how to say them, then maybe he's not close enough to me. I want to just be able to talk to him. I don't want to just say prayer over and over and over again. I want to actually say something from my heart to him. And maybe, just maybe, if I can get quiet long enough, I might be able to hear. Maybe I can hear an answer. And then number three, trust. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him through Christ Jesus. This one's hard. Got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him and he will guide your path, right? That's what the word says, but trusting is tough because I don't know how many times I've said, yeah, I trust the Lord, I'm a Christian, I'm going to do it, and then it gets squeezy and I'm going to handle it. I got this one. I ain't got time to be trusting in the Lord. I got to take over. I got to do all the work. And, you know, it's not just doing the work. The legwork's fine. It's the pressure I put on myself when I'm doing that legwork. It's the stress I put on myself because I think that I can do it. I can do it, but I must do it because if I don't, then I'm less than I was. It's a value issue for me. I don't know about you guys, but that's when and it drives me nuts because sometimes I turn it over. When do I turn it over? When the pain is so great, I have no choice but to turn it over. I'm now so wiped out, destroyed, I can't do it. Finally, I go, all right, God, it's up to you. Boom, all this great stuff starts happening as soon as I turn it over. Wouldn't it be great if I could actually turn it over before I felt all that pain? And that's what I'm working on. It's a process, you know. It's not about perfection. It's a process that we go through. We get a little better and a little better and a little better. At the beginning, you know, maybe I held on to the control for a week. Next time I held on to it for 3 days. Next time I just held on it for a day. Then maybe just an hour. Okay, I'm getting better. Instead of beating the heck out of myself saying I'm in charge again, I'm trying to take in charge again, and I'm a loser, what a jerk I am, I just congratulate myself for being better than I was last time. Make sense? Now, sons of God, no fear. This is just a tool. This is some of the things that I use for me when I'm trying to, that's a bad word. We don't try, we do, we don't do. When I'm getting myself right. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's what Psalms 62:8 says. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let their requests be known unto God. That's how you pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer. So you pray, supplicate, which means you say it over and over, and then thanksgiving. It's done. The hard part is when we've prayed, celebrating the fact that it's done because we don't see it yet. But if we understand the double slit experiment, we understand that we create the reality we live in. How many of you have already studied the double slit? You guys gone through that? Oh, well, that's going to be... it's a quantum physics thing. 2-minute review. Quantum physics. The double slit experiment was this. They found out through quantum physics that protons and an atom has protons, neutrons, and electrons, right? Protons and neutrons are made out of something called quarks, which are energy packets. So they said, all right, that's energy. Well, at least we got the electron. They were very excited about it. At least we got the solid mass called the electron. But the electron, what they found out, acted as a wave. It acted as a wave potential until looked on by the outside observer. When the outside observer looked at it, boom, it became matter right where the observer thought it should be. In other words, the observer influenced whether it was in a place and whether it was matter or not. In other words, we create the reality we live in based on the thoughts and the intents of our heart. We don't want to hear that crap, because if we believe that, then the stuff we got in our life is our fault. The bad stuff. We don't want to believe that. We want to believe that stuff happens to me, and I'm a victim, and stuff's always just happening to me, and I was just born that way, and that's the way my family is, and that's just the curse we carry with us. But the truth is, from quantum physics and from the Word, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, they say both that we create the reality we live in based on the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So science is saying it, the Word is saying it. That's what the double slit experiment is talking about. That's a quickie. You can look it up on YouTube, and they got Dr. Quantum does a great little cartoon on exactly what's happening. It's pretty cool. Let's see. We'll move on. Any questions so far? We're just reviewing. All right. Laughter. According to the studies by CTA, the Cancer Treatment Center of America, in 2012, laughter therapy does provide physical benefits such as helping to boost the immune system and the circulatory system, enhance oxygen intake, stimulate the heart and lungs, relax muscles throughout the body, trigger and release endorphins. And I like this part, endorphins, because we get these when we lift weights, right? We get these endorphins. They're a natural little, good job, way to lift heavy, and here's your drug. I love endorphins. Free drugs. Ease digestion, soothes stomach aches, relieves chronic pain, balances blood pressure, improves mental functions. Laughter therapy may also help to improve overall attitude, reduce stress and tension, promote relaxation, improve sleep, enhance quality of life, strengthen social bonds and relationship with others, and produce a general sense of well-being, peace. And really, what's the whole purpose of us being here? It's to find a place of peace. We can say we want money, we want cars, we want... Why? Because we want to feel like we're protected. We want to feel peace. You know, that's the thing that's weird, is like you can almost feel peace with broke. I've been to that place. And I was peaceful in the pink clouding in the place that I had nothing. And then I'm trying to achieve and achieve and achieve. And then I get to the place where I'm afraid somebody's trying to take something from me. And now there's no peace, even though I got more stuff than I ever had. When I go to India, these people are smiling ear to ear. They are broke, flat busted, and disgusted. But they are happy because they have, what are they going to lose? They got nowhere to go but up. And I think that sometimes we think things are going to give us peace, but the only true peace we're going to have, for me, is my relationship with my Papa God and other people. If I'm comfortable with who I am in my own skin, then, and comfortable with God, and comfortable with others, I'm good. But I learned that. Some days I'm good, some days not so good. Hey, bud. Any questions so far? All right, how to learn to trust God. See, everybody wants to say, well, you just, in the church too many times they'll say, and you just trust God. Okay, amen. I said amen, so it must be so. Well, how do you do it? I mean, I don't trust hardly anybody. I trust me. I trust my abilities, but do I trust this unseen entity? That's a hard thing, I think. Maybe you guys got it, but I ain't got it yet. I'm working on it. Reading those scriptures listed on that other slide, that one I went through real quick. Read your identity statement. I don't know how many times we've talked about identity statement. I am. I am who? I am the righteousness of Christ. I am the head, not the tail. I am an example of goodness, strength, and morality. My light shines brightly. Whatever you say after I am is the most powerful thing you've ever said. God's name was I am. He said, what should we call you? I am. I am that I am. There you go. That's the only thing. He never said, my name is Jehovah. My name is Elohim. He never said all that stuff. He said, I am. Because he's always now. And the most important thing we got to know is, who are we? Identity. Who are you? So I have an I am statement that I have in my car and on my computer. When I start to feel stress, I read my I am statement out loud so I can let go of the stress and remember who I am and whose I am, instead of freaking out about all the things I really can't control. It's a tool, but we need tools to get through this stuff. Now, we can choose to write an I am statement, or choose to say, we know that, the three most disempowering words, I know that, right? Do you do that? No, I don't do that. Well, then you don't know that. Know you have a purpose, and you were uniquely created for that purpose by God. Everything God created serves a purpose. Why not you? The creator of a thing is the only one who can tell you the purpose. You must know him. So, every person in this room has a purpose, a reason for being. Everybody has a reason for being. Now, in life, what's the cool thing is finding that reason. Because, you know, how many people, you guys go to church too? You're new for me. So, every time you go to church, they're saying, God has laid up in the storehouses of heaven all this stuff, and it's going to pour out all over you, right? They're telling you that stuff all the time. All right, yes. Where does he lay it up? In purpose, in the place he wants you, not in the place you are. He's created you for a reason. He's created you to do a thing. He's created you uniquely and wonderfully for a thing. The cool thing is finding out what that wonderful thing is. And in that thing, all health, wealth, prosperity, peace, and joy is yours. Shalom is laid up there. But we sit there and say, look, I'm comfortable here, God. Now, you can bring the stuff here, because I don't want to change and go where you want me, because that's uncomfortable. That's scary. That's taking a step of faith, and I don't want to take that step of faith, because that's really scary stuff. Like, you're taking a step of faith right now, aren't you? You are. You're taking a big step. You're moving your business from somewhere you're comfortable, or you're making some money, but you're moving it to another area where it's not comfortable, but it's got it's a much better opportunity for you and your company to grow. So there's that faith step that you have to take to get there, but that's where he's laid up the wealth for you. The wealth, health, prosperity, peace, and joy, right? Does that make sense? That we were created for a purpose, that each person was. Mine is teaching empowerment. This is my purpose. I do oil. I'm a chemist in oil, and I have patents in the oil industry. That's how I make my money. This is the thing I'm passionate about, to empower people to actually do something different with their lives instead of just being an also-ran. Create a When God Came Through a Miracle book. This is the thing that really helps is, you know, we always remember how bad it is when we're going through it. But if we had a book of all the times he came through before and could read it, we could remember, oh, yeah, well, he came through then. And, oh, yeah, he came through then. And what the heck am I worried about? He always comes through. You know, it's just another tool, another way to remember when you're going through it, to ease the stress, to remember he's got you. Does that make sense? All right. Any questions are always good. Talk to God daily and then listen. This is what I do every morning again now, is meditate. I say again now because I got so busy, I got too busy to meditate. Yeah, those rough times, those weeks were not very good. First thing I used to always do and then do again now is when I get up at 3:30 in the morning, I get out there and get quiet. And for me, I go up to heaven to see Papa and sit on his lap and get quiet. I got to get quiet. This brain keeps buzzing all the time. It's got so much it wants to do. Oh, yeah, you got to do this, you got to do that. Shut up. I can't get quiet and actually hear anything if I'm thinking all the time about all the stuff I've got to do. I've got to be. I'm a human being, not a human doing. Let's be a human being and be quiet and be with him for once, you know? So if I meditate, my day is taken care of. All of a sudden, my day is great, because I've actually meditated, I've actually hung with Papa, and the things I thought I had to do somehow get taken care of. It's a faith thing, I don't know how. It just happens. Try it. Have a friend or a mentor walk you through the truth when you're in pain or doubt. This is a hard one, because in church it's hard, you know, you can't have a bad day. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored, brother. Are you really? You look like crap, dude. Well, no, I'm blessed. I'm good. Well, you know, and then that's when it takes someone to reach out and say, can I talk with you? Can I, You're going through some stuff. And not judge, love people through this stuff. We'll talk about that more later. James says, confess your faults one to another. Just imagine that. Confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I'm sitting there and I go, Justin, let me tell you all the things I screwed up this week. You think that's going to happen? Probably with you and me, it might. But I'm saying for the most part, especially in churches when people don't know each other that well, they don't do that. And that's what we're supposed to do, is actually share these things we're going through with each other and not judge each other, but love each other through it. Because I'd say, he'd tell me something, and I go, you know, when I went through that, what, you went through that? Yeah, when I went through that, this is what I did. Instead of, you know, don't touch that one. He's got the curse on him. Let's ostracize him. Let's cast him out. I'll pray for you, though, brother. And that's going to be one of the steps coming up, is that actually finding that person that you know is not going to judge you, that you know has gone through it before, and that you can just open up your guts to.
Yeah. And then they share too much, so there's no way they're telling on you.
No, they're telling you what crap they went through, right?
It's a good place, actually.
It's a great place. Because, you know, the bond that you form with two people then, and then all of a sudden it's four, and then it's six. You know, we had that one Bible study. It wasn't a Bible study. It was more an AA thing. And everybody was just sharing what they were going through, and people actually grew because of it. It was good, because guys were just being real. And when you do that, there's such a bond that's formed that you really have a relationship. Okay, so that's all leading up to step four. Step four. And well, step four is probably where we'll go to step five, I don't know. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Leave no root hidden, or it will come up to the worst time. You know, a lot of times in life, for me, you know, you fix all this stuff, and you're like, okay, that's just enough. But you know, there's this other thing that just keeps coming up. But you know, that's enough. I'm good enough. Come on, I don't want to fix that one. And the terrible thing is you go around the mountain again, and there it is again. And then you go around the mountain, and there it is again. Now you got to do something with it. But, you know, the worst thing is you start to get elevated. You start to get a higher position. All of a sudden, you're teaching up on a stage. You're talking to all these people. And then, boom, that root kicks in. That thing you didn't deal with kicks in. Like, for example, we got Ted Haggard, a buddy of ours that we had met. And his root was not this gay thing that he went through. His root was, and he remembers the day it happened. He was being a people pleaser, not a God pleaser. Ted Haggard had this huge church, and he used to stand up on the chairs, and he'd preach, and he'd really get passionate. And the TV guy says, you know, it really doesn't play well when you stand up on those chairs. We really can't get you in frame very well, so would you mind not doing that? And he said, okay. And he didn't do it. He said, that's when I lost what I was supposed to be doing, because that was part of my ministry. That's why all these other pastors used to come to listen to me, because I was just so passionate. And now I became a people pleaser, not a God pleaser. And he says, as soon as I did that, the root of that homosexuality kicked in, and boom. Then when he fell, all those people that followed him fell, and the whole church fell apart. I don't know if you guys know Ted Haggard or not, but it was a rough thing. And he had Well, how big was his church? Like 30,000, 35,000, something like that. Big church. It says in Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may many be defiled. That's the thing, is most of us have been created as, well, most of us, we're all leaders. We're all leaders in the thing we're called to do. Justin is a king and a priest in what he's been called to do. I serve him in that thing. But I'm a king and a priest in what I've been called to do, and he serves me in that thing. So we're all kings and priests, and we're all servants. So when I get raised on high, but I don't take care of that root, that thing that I know I got to take care of, it could be the thing that trips me up as I get to that high pinnacle. You all right with that? No, she's not. She does. I understand. I've been there. A major step that will happen after admitting a problem exists and admitting your shortcomings and write them down. The greatest gift is writing down the shortcomings you have. Now, why? One, you make them real, because you know what we do with our shortcomings. We hide them in this dark recess in a dark place where you can't get to. There's cobwebs and stuff there, and you never want to bring it out. And please don't shine a light on it, because you don't want to see it. But when you bring it out and you write it down, you bring it out into the light, now it's real. You know what you got to do when it's real? You got to do something about it. You know, that's the thing. Now it's there. Now what are you going to do about it? You're forcing yourself to make a decision to do something about it. Each individual must look at his past and present circumstances and situations to determine where he has missed the mark. Remember, the word sin does not mean what it used to mean in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, offense against God. In the New Testament, sin is the word hermartano, which means missing the mark, not receiving the prize. Okay, you screwed up. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You're not going to get the prize. Brush yourself off. Let's try it again. Brush yourself off and let's try it again. There's where most Christians miss it. They don't brush themselves off and try it again. They go, I suck. I'm a loser. I'm no good. Let's just stop here. Please, Jesus, come and save me quick. Get back here and give me the rapture. Because I just can't do this thing. It's too hard. Right? What's that? Forgiving ourselves is the hardest forgiving to do, isn't it? I mean, I can forgive other people in a heartbeat, but me, I judge so harshly because I should know better. Heck, Nick, you teach this stuff. Why are you still doing this stuff? Because forgiving you, for me, is the hard part. Forgiving ourselves is the hard part. By bringing these shortcomings into light, they cannot sabotage your gifts and talents any longer and can be dealt with, turned turned over and overcome. You are released from bondage and of shackles. See, we put ourselves in these shackles. We're the ones that put ourselves in bondage. We're the ones that say we can't do a thing. Right? We're the one that limits ourselves. Whatever we say we can or can't do, we're right. We're the creator of that. Well, but why don't we want to do it? Because there's a safety place. There's a comfort place. There's a nice little rut here. A rut is a grave with no front or back, right? There's a place where I'm safe and I don't want to have to change. Because if I change, who knows what'll happen? That's scary. But then if we died to self because now we're one of Jesus's, there is no question anymore about it. We've got to do it because it's not about us. It's about what we can do for others. If we believe that stuff. By the decision to search fearlessly into yourself and the Word. So, Matthew says, you can only change you. Stay focused on that and not other shortcomings. This is many of the people I counsel. The thing that they want to focus on is their partner, their spouse, their friend, all the things they've done wrong instead of the thing that they can control, which is themselves. The only thing, every crime scene, I showed up to. So, I must have been part of that thing. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in my own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye. You know, the truth is, in my life anyway, the only things I can see in somebody else are the things that exist in me. If I see somebody that's got a shortcoming of this or that, or it's because it was in me or is in me. I've seen it before. It's so easy for me to see someone else's fault that are in me. Oh, pornography. Yeah, I went through that. I can see that easy because I can see it because I remember. Now, I don't say that from a pulpit because, oh, man, you don't do that stuff. But I had to go through that drinking. I can see that. You know, you could see so easily the thing you had to go through. So if you see something you don't like in someone else, it's probably because you got it in you. Because you probably couldn't see it unless it was in you. So don't judge them. Take notice of it and see what's in you. Review. You're saved. Now what? How do I change what I've always done? We already went through that. And now the rule of resonance. Remember this, and we've talked about this in other classes. You become who you hang with. Together, we are more powerful than apart. If you want to know who you are, see who you're hanging with. If you're hanging with a bunch of coconuts, probably a coconut. If you're hanging with a bunch of good men, you're probably a good man. If you're hanging with a bunch of business people, probably a business person. But if you want to know who you are, see who you hang with. If you don't like it, hang with new people. You know, that one of the hardest things for us, and we've talked about this, was when we bought a house. We bought a house in Los Angeles just up the hill, first time we bought a house. And it was way out of our comfort zone because this house was a $2 million house. And it took us the longest time to get comfortable with it. So what we would do is we'd go down to Scottsdale and hang out with the wealthy, get used to hanging out within those wealthy little Phoenician and stuff like that. We took a seat and put it on the land and just would look out at the view down in the valley all the time until we got comfortable with that view. Finally, my wife says to me, you know, I could live here. I said, I could too. Next day, the loan closed. It was like so amazing. Once we could allow it to happen, it happened. But we had to be okay with it because most of the time we'll self-sabotage ourselves, especially with money, right before we allow it to come into our life. I mean, I tried to do it big time in this merger I just went through. I have an oil company, patents in the oil company. Company in Australia wanted to merge with me, and they're going to give me a bunch of money to do it, right? There's a lot of zeros in that bunch of money. Now, I always teach, because it's so wise to say, they're only zeros until you're getting them. All of a sudden, I'm freaking out. It's like, these are a lot of zeros. There's a lot of who am I? And I can't. And then I start creating reasons, hurdles, if you will, that I can fall over so the deal won't happen. I start to create. And finally, when I realize I'm doing this, because I have the sexy voice of the Holy Spirit help me out, my wife, then I go, oh, that is what I'm doing. I'm actually creating these things so that I won't have this to do, and then I can blame others for not making this so. And when I let it go and let it do what it was going to do, let go and let God, there it was, and all of a sudden there's that check, and it just got wired in the account, and it was like, what the heck? Because I let it go. But the key was I had to be okay with allowing it to happen. And a lot of times, especially with wealth, we're not okay. Somebody taught us a long time ago that very Christian people have to be very poor. Right? Because Jesus was broke, flat, bust, and disgusted, right? Even though he got gold, frankincense, and myrrh when he was born, that they had caravans, you know. But he was probably, you know, he was two in the house. Yeah, you're right. He got him when he was two. You're such a nerd. Step four, made a fearless and thorough moral inventory of ourselves and shortcomings and bring into the light. Any questions on the first four steps? What time is it? I just want to make sure. I'm talking a lot. 7:45? 7:30. Okay, good. All right. No questions, anybody? Anybody want to share anything before I go on? Babe, you want? I could. No, I wasn't gonna, because I would take my son to come in here, change the computer. It's the metronome thing. There's a thing on YouTube that shows. They start all these metronomes, and they have them on a table, and they start all these metronomes, and they all are going in different directions. And within about 30 seconds, they're all going with each other, back and forth, back and forth. It's much like women in their cycles. You put women in the cycles in the same house, the cycles are going to line up. You know, 9 out of 10 times, they line up because they start to resonate and be with each other, and then all of a sudden, that's what happens, right? That's what the metronome thing was showing, that you end up being with who you're hanging with. All right? Luke 6:43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor the bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, you know, I always teach, be a fruit inspector for others, but be a fruit inspector for yourself. If you don't like the fruit that's in your life, then what do we got to change in your heart so that you can create good fruit in your life? It's all about fruit. Every thought is a seed. Every seed, when spoken, is a planted, is a plant. It brings forth a fruit, good or bad. It's up to us, based on where did that seed come from? Was it an evil seed, or was it a good seed? Right?
And how much did we water it?
That's truth. That's truth. Become a fruit inspector. Good fruit, good seed. Look at your fruit and see what needs to be changed in you. You know, I had to go through that again. I mean, here's the worst thing. I've gone through stuff in my life. You get through it. You start to do good and stuff. And all of a sudden, that old stuff starts to creep up again. You're like, what? Didn't I go through that already? Didn't I push that aside? Didn't I beat that already? And then you don't even realize it until you're like 3-4 weeks into it. And then you go, man, now I got to go through it again. I got to get rid of this thing again. Why do I have to get rid of it again? Well, because I stopped meditating. I stopped doing all the things I knew to do, you know, because I just figured I got it now. Does that make sense? Am I the only one ever done that? Do we believe the word or the world? That's a tough one. John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. See, if we want to be Jesus' disciples, we've got to do what the word says, what he says, what our gut says, what we know is right, however you want to say it. Because too many times we're influenced by people that are not doing what is right. But we want to hang out. We want to be accepted. So we go ahead and do that thing. All the dudes are going to a booby bar. Well, hey, I'm a man. I want to. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. You know it's not right. You know you shouldn't go. You're getting that check in your gut. It says, do not go. Stop. Warning. Right? Not saying you went there, Keith.
What if you don't
what? Well, tell me when, give me an example, kind of. You can't? You can't do it, huh? I'm sitting here spilling my guts. You can give me something. Give me something, man. Well, you said, I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I didn't get a gut check. What do you want, a knife in the gut? In other words, your want to do it was greater than your don't want to do it. Yeah. I know. And that stinks, because I've been there too. When my want to is greater than what I know I got to do, then you go ahead and do it, and then you wonder why you got to pay the dues of that fruit that was just born by that bad seed being planted, right? Because that's what basically happens, right? We go ahead and plant the seed anyway, especially if I deserve it. Well, you don't. Yeah, that's the other thing, dude. And this is if I could teach anything, it would be this. Stop beating the heck out of yourself. Stop beating the heck out of yourself. Okay, you screwed up. Brush off. Let's get going again. Because what we do is we figure there's a time frame that we got to beat ourselves. There's at least, you know, I got to beat myself for at least a week.
Yeah, exactly.
You got like 3 days. Yeah, you got a couple more days of beating yourself. You loser. But then you'll be all right again.
Jesus didn't even race for 3 days.
That's it. So you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you mess up, that's okay. You messed up. Let's not make it a habit. Brush off. Learn something from it. Repent. That's what repent means. Think a new way and get going again. Let's try something again. Let's try it again. Next time, you're gonna be tested on that exact same thing again. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Then it's going to be, which way did you go this time? And you know God's just sitting there, and he's in his seat, and he's watching you. And he's watching you from the throne. And he's seeing. Now, he's not the one that did it. He's not the tempter and tester of persons. You know, we know Lucifer does that. And all of a sudden, you make the right move. And he goes, yes! Right? Because he's not mad at you. He's rooting for you. That's what we all got to see. See him like he is. What we focus on, we get more of, right? So we focus on, okay, well, we focus on, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to smoke. You're going to smoke. I don't want to drink, I don't want to drink, I don't want to drink. You're going to drink. No porn, no porn, no porn. Pink, click. Oh, how'd that happen? I don't know. You know, it's what we focus on, not, so focus on what you want. Healthy body, you know, great relationship with your wife. Because anything that tears you down, anything that tears me down, tears apart our relationship. You know, it's not just me and I can do it because I'm my own man. I can do whatever I want. Because it's I'm not anymore. We're one. So she gets the fruit of that, right? I'm not sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, once you get the truth, that's the thing. When you get the truth, then you're free. When you actually know the truth. Know that I didn't do it, and I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, and it's almost like, ha. And then you get the endorphin release as well. Good job. Well done, you know? Disciples of Jesus know the truth of their identity through the Word, and this truth removes the doubt of environment or generational programming that have been placed in us. This is a cop-out. Well, it's a generational thing. My dad is a drinker. My dad's a drinker. I'm a drinker. It's just the way I am. I'm never going to change. And you're right. You're never going to change. It's an excuse. My grandfather's a drinker. My dad was a drinker. I chose no more. I'm a curse breaker. That's my job. I break curses so my son doesn't have to go through it. Wherever I decide I'm done breaking curses, that's where my son has to pick it up. I'm a pavement layer. I lay pavement so my son can ride his vehicle on a nice paved road. And my job is to lay pavement until the day I die. She's laying pavement right now, dude. Any questions on that? That's important, though, I think, you know, that we can't let the cop out of generational programming have its place. You know, I'm angry. I've got a temper. Fire will shoot out of my eyes. Well, when we first got married, I was a nut, right? Because my dad was a nut. My grandfather was a nut. I'm a nut. You come at me, and then fire comes out, and you get a big body with fire coming out of it, and you're going to hurt people. One way or another, you're either going to get shot or you're going to hurt somebody. And you end up in jail, and you go, how'd I get here again, right? But then when you learn more and more and more about the Word and you become more and more like the Word teaches you, like what happened to me? I dropped a bit on my finger at, we were in California. Now, I dropped a bit. I'm lifting the stupid bed up to plug in my charger, and it slipped out of my left hand and dropped onto my finger on the right hand, okay? So it crushed it a little bit. I didn't say one curse word. I did not. Now, I used a tool. Here's the tool. I put that bleeding finger in my mouth so I couldn't say nothing. But it worked. She was just like, did you really? You didn't say. Now, my wife, I can't tell on your story. My wife gets up about half hour later, walks around the bed, and there's those little stupid things you're supposed to sit on and put your shoes on the bottom of the bed, right? And she hits her toe on it. Oh, my God, the words that came out of her face. And she fell down on her bad shoulder into the chair, and then it was like, you know, stars and Saturn and all these words coming out. And it was tough. So I prayed for her. No judgment. Anyway, but what I was trying to say is I didn't do it, but inside I was thinking it. Boy, I was thinking it. One day, and one day I might not even be thinking it. Just, why did you drop the bed on your finger, nut?
Progress.
That's right, it's progress. And you'll blame it on me, right? Step 5, confession, dropping the weight. This is the hardest thing. admitted to God and to ourselves and another person, what? The exact nature of our wrongs. It's easy to admit it to God, right? That's cake. Ourselves, yeah, we say it's easy, but when we actually say it to ourselves, it doesn't sound so good. But I might be able to do that one. And another person. So you write it down, and then you're supposed to tell it to another person, all the stuff that you went through and did that's not right. But you know, when I went through this, and you know, we have to go through this kind of thing in AA and all that. When I went through this, I never felt so light as when I shared all the crap I had gone through and all the stuff I had done wrong with another guy that had done just more stuff than I had ever done. And it was like I could share it with him, and I shared it all with him, and that big giant rock on my back was gone. I was like, ah. And it felt like I was reborn because I didn't have to carry that stuff. I didn't have to worry about it being seen again. I didn't have to worry about hiding it and what if they find out anymore, which is the worst fear is when, what if they find out? They'll find out I'm not that perfect human being that they all thought I was. Nobody thinks you're perfect. Nobody thinks I'm perfect. But you think they think you're perfect, right? So I'm just saying this is the greatest gift, but in order to get where you got to go, you got to do this. In order to walk as a son of God, you got to do this. Pick your friend carefully, somebody that wants to grow too. There's too many people in the church that just want to judge you. If you're worse than them, they're good with that because then they don't have to fix themselves. Find someone that is also trying to go through it as well. I burned it. I think it was like a bonfire. That was a giant scroll. Because it starts when you're little and you start acting like your dad, and all of a sudden you are your dad, and you hear yourself as your dad when you're screaming and stuff. And it was a good fire.
I left mine in the water.
You left yours where?
In the water.
In the war.
Water.
Oh, in the water. So you left it in the water? Let it, that's good. I like that. So you had your list and you baptized and you just left it in the water because you were reborn.
First time I went through the steps,
yeah. I like it. That's good. Good idea. Yeah.
I think it might also be helpful to talk about how step 5 is so difficult. All the things that make it hard for us to do step 5.
Well, one of the things, well, let's go ahead, John. What's one of the things that makes it so hard for you, you would say, to do something like step 5?
Well, it's the fear of the judgment.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and that we're taught, you know, that your image is important, and that if I share this fault or shortcoming with somebody, then they're going to look at me differently.
Right.
They're not going to accept me. They're going to talk about me.
Yep.
And have my back. You know,
yep.
Going to share that with others.
Yep.
Everybody's going to know my business.
Yep. That's truth. But, you know, and that's so true. And I think that's one of the big fears, right, guys? But for me, I like to go the other way. Like the first things I said in the classes I taught at Covenant Life were, yeah, I drank. I drank for a lot of years. I drank so much I used up my allotment for my life. I want, because when you can admit what you've gone through, it frees up others to admit what they're going through.
But at the same time, it's easy to talk about what we used to struggle with and we're doing okay with now. It's difficult to say, hey, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. I know I'm not supposed to be feeling this way towards this person, that person, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, drinking is not I let it go yesterday thing. I feel every day. Some days it's tough. Some days it's not so tough. Some days I want to drink. Some days I don't want to drink. So I struggle with it every day. But I go to programs. I go to things. I talk in classes like this. But for me, that's one of the things that it's okay that you're going through it, right? But it's also okay that you share that you're going through it. Because when you can create a place of trust, then others can share what they're going through, and then it can get all this crap off of us. And we can find that safe place where it's not so heavy to walk around anymore. You know? Hey, we all think terrible things. We've all done not so good things. I know on Sundays we're all perfect, but we've all done it. And it's okay. That's why we go through it, so we can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I don't put myself in situations to find somebody because I really don't want to do it. It's just an excuse.
Right.
If I really wanted to do it, then I would go to Al-Anon or I would go to AA or I would go to some place where that type of relationship is accepted, or I would find someone in my church that I could befriend and share with.
Right. But you were raised in a church where if anybody wasn't perfect,
you
were judging them, right?
I can't find anybody, and I'm not really looking for one.
And I was raised a Catholic, so we all sucked. So it was okay. When there was nobody good out of the Catholics, except maybe the priest, maybe. Yeah, well, yeah.
And you're like, what?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things I think we don't give Jesus enough credit for, I mean, he's a dude. There's a naked woman in front of him that just got caught in the act of adultery, and she ain't got nothing on. And what did he do? Did he stare at her? No. He's looking at the ground, just drawing the ground. So, because he knows the eyes went to the soul. He knows if he looks upon it, it's going to be something he might want to see again. So he doesn't look on it. Everybody wants to know, what was he writing? I don't think that was the point. The point was he wasn't looking. You know? We in church are sometimes taught to bury and not confront sin. Not judge yourself, but get past it. Lay it down. Knowing what we did is wrong and admitting it out loud are two very different things. Hearing your own voice say it heals you, of the constant fear of being found out. God already knows. Are we respecters of person or God? God wants us free of the bondage we placed ourselves in, as he has already set up freedom for us through Christ. In other words, he set up freedom for you in Christ. Are you a sinner now? No? Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner, Ed? Just because the other two guys said no? Do you sin? You miss the mark and don't receive the prize. That's right. Plant some bad seed every now and then. Yep. But are you a sinner? No, it's not who you are. See, we used to be, in the Old Testament, sinners. Right? But now, we're covered in a robe of righteousness. We are not sinners. Anytime someone says, I'm just an old sinner from wherever, Alabama, that's... I turn off right then, because we're not sinners. We're covered in a robe of righteousness. If we say we are, and then we say that we have to say 15 Hail Marys to our fathers and repent and go to a trip to Lourdes, then what Jesus did was imperfect. But what he did was perfect. That robe of righteousness is perfect. We can't sin in God's eyes. We can't. You can mess up and go boldly before the throne right then. That's the amazing thing about it. Does that make sense? But that's not what we're taught. There's a time frame. There's a week of cleanliness. You got to be out in the tent with the ladies for a little while. What happened? Oh. What time is it? I want to make sure I don't go too long. Okay, I'll go about 15 minutes. All right. I'm not going to go that long. All right. Admitting past errors and wrongs we have buried to another out loud and to ourselves is the key to repenting and taking the power away from the times we miss the mark. A good guy, when you're telling the story, you know, like when I was telling my story to my guy, Dan Chalew, and I'm telling him everything I'd ever done, he would milk me to make me say more. No, Nick, you weren't really thinking. What? Okay, now what? Just get rid of all of the crap. Be honest for once in your life. Tell the truth. Get it all out there. And then whatever you get it all out there, you don't have to deal with it again. It's amazing. And that's why I say you feel so light. But if you'd like to hold, you want to tell a good story so it sounds like you're kind of noble or something like that. Hey, I wasn't noble. I was a mess. And I'm still working on that stuff. Any questions on that stuff? That's a real hard one, though, John. I mean, what you brought up is exactly truth. Because admitting to another person the things you're going through and the things that are shortcomings in your life is difficult. But the amazing thing is we all have them. And we've all gone through them. And if you haven't gone through them yet, you're gonna. So there's no sense judging somebody. Because you're going to go through it or you've been through it. James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. That's the healing. That's how we get healed. That's when it has no more power over us. That's when the shackles are dropped. That's when the chains are gone. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it's working. And this is what the words really mean. You know, I'm a nerd. I look at the Greek and Hebrew. Confess your faults, a side slip or error is what it says in the Greek, one to another, and pray one to another that ye may be healed, cured, and made whole again. The effectual, fervent, the active and mighty prayer, petition of a righteous man, equitable in character and action. That's a righteous man just right there, righteous. His words and his actions are the same. That's a man of character. His words and his actions are the same. That's character. That's what we miss so much in politics today, is men of character. When they say a thing, they do a thing. You know, like I used to teach, there's great integrity in the mafia. God said he's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. That's an integrous man. He's not a good man. He's not a man full of character, but he is an integrous man. He says what he's going to do. But we don't do. How many times have we promised ourselves that we're going to go on a diet? How many times have we promised ourselves we're going to start working out? How many times have we promised ourselves that we're going to eat good food now? And then do we do it? No. And so then when we don't do it, what are we telling ourselves? I'm a liar. I lie. I lie to myself, because that's the only person you truly ever lie to anyway. I'm lying. And when you're lying, then how can you believe that when you lay hands on somebody, they're going to be healed? Because I'm a liar. Does that make sense? Hard, but truth. What did he say?
That's my wife and I. We'll be like, no, that's it. We're going to start working out. We're going to get in shape. We're going to stop eating all this crap. But 2 days later, she'll call me. Should we pick up a pizza? I'm already there.
Why? But that's just like, that's good. That's a perfect analogy of exactly what we're talking about.
That's why I say baby steps. Baby steps.
That's right.
Oh, I did this just a little bit of time. And then you start building your integrity. Then you start thinking, I'm not an idiot. I'm not a liar. I'm not a loser.
Yep. Well, I think that's why they say one day at a time. And I think that's why they say, give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly or our monthly. He knows we can only handle the day. Sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's a minute. That's exactly right. But that's truth, man. I mean, because when we make these, especially New Year's commitments, how many of those do you keep? Forever I will do this.
2 weeks.
I will give my firstborn son to the Lord, and he will be raised Nazarene. Whatever. Repent, ye therefore. So to think differently is what repent means. Remember, it doesn't mean beating yourself. And be converted, renewed, and turned around, that your sins may be blotted out, smeared out, and obliterated. I like that, obliterated. When the times of refreshing revival shall come from the presence of the Lord. So if you repent and you're actually converted in your heart, in other words, you change the stuff that's going on in your heart, all your sins are blotted out. All the things you did are gone, as if they were never there. See, that's the thing, as if they were never there. We can't get that because our mind remembers all the stuff we did, even though God don't know what the heck we're talking about. God, I'm so sorry about the thing. What are you talking about? I don't get you. I don't see it. You're perfect to me. That's right. He said, I've wronged. But then he also said, why do I do the things I know not to do and not do the things I know to do? And when he said that, I go, I'm with you, brother. That's me right there. He that coveteth, hide and conceals his sins, shall not prosper. Okay, you want to prosper? But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This one stinks. I hate it. But it's truth. Because you can allow yourself to receive when you're not covering up stuff. But when you're covering up stuff, you won't let yourself receive good stuff. It's just how it is. I've been on both sides of it. And when I'm on the good side of it, I can, yeah, I'm good at getting it. But when I'm on the other side of it, I make sure I cause hurdles for every good thing coming my way. I won't receive it. I can't receive it. I won't allow myself to receive it. Even though I don't know I'm doing that to myself, I'm doing it. Was it because I'm not good enough? Because I know I'm lying. I know I'm cheating. I know I'm doing this thing wrong that I said I wasn't going to do. How can I receive that? Right? Is it God that stopped pouring out the blessings? No. It's me that stopped receiving them. Right? That's a 90-10 thing. 90% of the time, it's me saying, yep, screwed up. 10%. She's just being nice. This is what's happening there. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain love and compassion. See, I like that. Matthew says, judge, which means try, condemn, and punish not, and ye not be judged. I mean, we hear this in the church all the time. Gosh, people can quote it, but it's the first thing we do. Right? Look at the hair on that one with the tattoos. My God, who the heck they think they are? What kind of, you think they'd clean up before they came in this church? You know, now they're sitting in the front row. My God. Don't they know that's Mary Ellen's seat? She's been sitting there 12 years. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. This part I don't like either. And with what measure ye met, ye shall be measured to you. So however hard you judge someone, guess how hard you're getting judged. That stinks. Okay. You are judging you. You already are, because you're afraid someone would judge you.
Exactly. If they were doing that, I would judge them. And so that's why I'm afraid of the judgment. I'm afraid of my own judgment. That's what I'm afraid of.
So what are you saying? You don't want to judge, or you judge yourself pretty harshly?
I don't think I do, but every now and then I realize, if I'm afraid of being judged,
yeah,
it's because I'm judging someone.
Ah, I see. That's probably true. Only you know. All right, where are we at? Who decides how we're judged?
We do.
Again. Heck, it's us again. I mean, why can't it be somebody else? Why can't I blame somebody else? All right, what time is it? I don't want to go too long. I got 5 minutes. All right. James 2:9 says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. So if we're a respecter of persons instead of a respecter of God, we're automatically under the law and convicted as a transgressor. That stinks. But how many times do we want to hang out with that cool person at church? Or that person that's the pastor, and maybe we get to speak in the same pulpit as they do, and you feel, because, you know, that's the man of God. Okay, that's something that really gets me irked when I hear, that's the man of God. And what am I? Chopped liver. I mean, that same God lives in me, so I'm a man of God too, and you're a man of God, and you're a woman of God, and there is no tier system in the body of Christ. There's Jesus. Now, if you do a you got God, then you got Jesus, and then where do we set up? Do we set up under him? No, we're his brother and sister. We're right beside him. There's none. So there's no, as soon as you set up a man on that pedestal, you set him up for to fall. Because he's just a dude. And if you think you're going through some stuff, imagine what a pastor's being attacked with. And as soon as he falls, one, you're excited because you can say, well, look at that. Yeah, he's so talking all that mess. Look what he did. I don't have to worry about it. Let's have a drink. Let's go pop a couple. You know? Or you're like, you're judging the heck out of the dude. And he slept with who? Oh, my God. Those guys get really attacked a lot. James, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So what sin is greater than any other sin? None. They're all equal. I mean, in Catholic, they weren't equal. There was mortal and venial sin. And you had, you know, time where you had to do just a quick Our Father, and then you had time where you had to do the act of contrition, right? Or a trip to Lourdes or something if it was really bad. But you know, the mortal and venial sin, then it was time you might have to be in purgatory for a while because you did some messed up stuff. But then you get to go to heaven. I don't know how long you got to be there. I didn't find any of that in the Bible, but I did find it when the priest talked to me about it. No sin is greater than any other sin. Discuss that. Because society would say that's not true. Right? Well, then we're a respecter of people, not God. Right? I mean, because, you know, well, you killed somebody. Well, that's the worst sin. You know, I couldn't even find, now, maybe you guys can help me. I couldn't even find that if you killed yourself, because we all know if you kill yourself, you go to hell. Right? We've all been taught that. But where does it say it in the Word? I looked up, down, left, right, center, Greek, Hebrew. I can't find it. I like to do this kind of thing because I want to say, let's think about it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the guy that has to judge. God's the one who's going to judge. I don't judge anybody. I don't know what was going on in their head. I don't know what they were going through. But what's the difference between that and a guy that dives on a hand grenade? He's killing himself. And he knows he's going to die. And he's going to have the same repercussions for his kids back home that he dove on that hand grenade. We say hero. Just messing with you. I don't know. But I really, it's not in the Word where it doesn't say somewhere. But I was always taught when I went through church that if you did, you're going to hell. That's a mortal sin, and it's a no black, no trade back.
I was taught that as well because you don't have time to repent.
That's right. Because you need, as a Catholic, you needed time to repent.
Right. But if God's, if his grace was enough, when he put his hands like this, the blood is forever.
Right. Go ahead. Say what you're saying. I want to hear you. That's all right. Everybody's from different backgrounds.
No, it's not written in the Bible. It's a sin. God gives us, right?
So he gave us life, so we took the life, our own life away. So it makes sense that it would be. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying I never saw it, but I understand what you're saying. Because he gave us the life, and we took our own life that he gave us, so that means it had no value to us, so maybe we aren't going to see him. Yeah, I hear you. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no. I really am not. I'm just, my job is to make us think.
Well, we're taking our own lives. If I do drugs, if I'm smoking, that's right. I am taking my life.
If you're doing drugs, you could very easily die a heroin overdose or something. Yeah. Right? I don't know.
Well, the issue becomes a heart issue.
Exactly.
And it comes to the nature of the heart. It says man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart.
Yep.
And he's the one that sees that. And I believe that a person's state of being at the moment of that horrific thing that they're struggling with, where's their heart?
I hear you. I hear you. It's what the word says.
The word also says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved, period. It doesn't say, and then if you fall back and go do dumb stuff and end up killing yourself or whatever.
But then you have to be questioned to sit there and say, do you really believe that those things are true if you're going to kill yourself?
But then we're judging.
What's the nature of your heart? I'm not
at the time.
No, but I'm saying, and then we're judging the guy's life because we haven't walked a mile in his shoes. So we don't know the answer is what I'm saying. All I know the answer for is me, and I know I'm going to be judged on what I believe is truth.
So here's where I get caught up. So God's the only judge.
Got it.
He sent Jesus, so we have grace, so we're covered for everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So long as we're, you know, doing the path and all that, we said the salvation prayer and all that. So then what's judgment day all about? Like, if he doesn't see our sin, then what's judgment day all about? Because, like, one of my hang-ups is, oh my gosh, I don't want to see that movie real quick when I get there of all the stuff I did wrong. But God doesn't see it.
I do. I want to watch that one. Yeah, the 90s.
So I get caught up in, okay.
Well, here's the thing, and I hear your question. Now, I would say, okay, now, are we truly saved if we're not willing to walk in the way he told us to walk?
No, I agree with that.
You hear what I'm saying? I mean, because I'm not saying, because just because I went up front and cried, does that mean I'm saved? My heart has to change. And when my heart changed, I do things different because my heart's different.
But you still mess up.
But you mess up. But then you repent. He's given us all these tools, but we're still sinless. So, again, it's only the individual that can make the call. But, you know, a lot of people say there's going to be a lot of people when the time comes that are not saved that think they were. And they're sitting there under the basket in the church, hiding the light instead of the light being out into the people tank where it's supposed to be. That's why we're called the ecclesia, which means the called out ones. Our job is to go to different places and bring the light and be the salt so that the world can change around us instead of hiding it all under the basket. We got to do stuff. And that's all this empowerment stuff's about.
The whole process that I believe is that your sins are forgiven, which is your external poor behavior. You call mistakes, faults, shortcomings, missing the mark. Christ came and his sacrifice symbolized the forgiveness of sins. Lord said that they will come and make a new covenant. And underneath that new covenant, he says, I'll remember their sins no more. So when he's talking about that, he's taking saying that your sins are forgiven, your external behavior is forgiven. Because the old covenant, it was like, do whatever you want, as long as you sit there and do your sacrifices the way you're supposed to, we're going to forgive. So as long as they're doing the right thing on the outside, so he took that away and he said, okay, it's not the outside stuff.
It's the heart.
What he wanted to see is the internal change. So where you're going to be measured as far as deliverance from sin or salvation is in your inner being. Who you are on the inside, who you are within your heart. So if you're sinning, yes, you're sinning, but that's forgiven. Don't beat yourself up because you made a mistake, but go find a solution for why you're making that mistake.
Repent. Think a new way.
Go through that process of repentance over time, because in that is where you're going to have deliverance from sin.
It's a fine line. And that's what
it is. My sins are forgiven, so I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's a
fine line because when you talk about someone else, you start to be judged. You're judging. But when you talk about yourself, you're saying, this is what I got to do. So only talk about yourself when you're talking because that's the person you know. And that's the way you're going to be judged based on what you believe. I believe that. Anyway, I think we've talked about this stuff enough for tonight. And I appreciate you all being here. A lot more people than I thought were going to be here. And thanks a lot. Come again, please.